If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email, shirley@crosslinkradio.com.
Hello, and welcome to CrossLink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski, your host of the only show that talks about health from the IT thon down. Well, the only one I've found so far. And we are going to be having an episode of The Sugar Show today with a special guest, Dr. Kim Vanderlinden. And we're going to be talking about sugar metabolism and the dietary systems that include insulin secretion and how natural sugars kind of get manipulated through the system. And I think that's a really good topic, especially since Trick or Treat is coming up pretty soon and we have to worry about what to do with all of these sugars that our kids are eating and whether or not this candy bar is going to be the candy bar that tips the scales and makes your child be a diabetic. I'm sure that's not how it works. Although if you read the papers these days, that's exactly how it works. So Dr. Kim Vanderlinden has degrees in naturopathic medicine and Chinese medicine and has practiced for almost 2 decades. Dr. Vanderlinden wrote a book called Too Good to Be True that highlights the multiple health benefits of a molecule called IP6. For immune support, bone density, and blood sugar, to name a few. Today, he is the president of Hope Science, suppliers of EFAC, and also the president of Periodine LLC, the supplier to dental offices of a remarkable new product for gum health. Always focused on science, Dr. Vanderlinden has played a key role in several original research projects using natural products. Good morning, Dr. Vanderlinden.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm awesome. So what are we doing here? Natural sugars and the metabolism into insulin and how that whole system works.
Well, today we're going to talk about, or I'd like to talk about, my favorite sugar. And my favorite sugar is called inositol hexahexaphosphate, or IP6 for short. And so IP6 and inositol are sugars that have profound benefits for the body. And so as our diets become more and more westernized, we get less and less of these sugars. And you'll see some of the research today, but it's
awesome.
Quite remarkable what the simple sugar, how many benefits there are. So, you know, typically sugars get a bad rap.
Yeah.
But this one is really, really necessary for health.
Well, I'm interested to know because one of my little flags here is the idea that we're just trying to dump all sugars and the body requires sugar in order to function and we have an innate drive to sweet. So what's happened is that, you know, manufacturers have exploited that need and they've turned us into these sugar hounds with easy to access sugar that isn't necessarily good for us, but we do need to have sugar. So I'm super duper interested to see how this plays out.
Well, you know, not all sugars are created equal, right? So
right.
Some have obviously health benefits and others are negative benefits. So negative consequences. So yeah, today we're just talking about a sugar that is natural in our food supply, and we'll talk a little bit about the physiology of how it interacts with the pancreas and insulin secreting cells, etc.
Awesome. It's all yours. Go ahead.
All right. So the it's called IP6, and it's really sort of the forgotten vitamin. And we think of vitamin D as a vitamin, but actually vitamin D is more of a steroid. It's not really a vitamin. And so, because vitamins by definition are some things our body does not produce. But we make a little bit of vitamin D, but it's not enough for health. So we have to get, you know, sunshine, or we need to have vitamin D in our diet to get enough. So it's not really a vitamin, because classically, because it, you know, we do produce a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
IP6 is the same thing. IP6 is we make a little bit in our kidneys, but not enough for health. And it's important to know that the I in IP6 is inositol. And inositol is a B vitamin. And it hasn't got an RDA, but it's necessary. And you'll see when I talk about safety a little bit, we need it's even by law that in baby formulas, for instance, you have to have inositol.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. So it's completely safe. I mean,
I think most people, when they would look at a ingredients list, they would see the word inositol and they would assume that it was some kind of a terrible thing that somebody made in their basement.
Well, it sounds like that, right? But
yeah.
It's really a sugar that, and it's literally necessary for life. And that's why by law it's in baby formulas.
Awesome. Okay. That's good to know.
And it's the I in IP6. So the history of it is fascinating. In South Africa, in the 1960s, 90% the black population had a 90% protection against colon cancer compared to the whites. So they thought at first it was genetic, but when they looked closer, it wasn't genetic at all, because the black people that lived in the city for three or four generations, they had the same colon cancer as the whites. So then they thought, well, it's something to do with the diet. It was only the first generation in the city that had the protection. And when they looked at the diet, the first generation in the city consumed a lot of corn and or mace. And so they said, oh, well, mace has got fiber, so fiber is protecting against colon cancer, which seemed like a logical hypothesis, right?
Right.
But then in the 1970s, the next decade, they discovered that the Danes had twice as much colon cancer as the Finnish people, but they ate twice as much fiber, so it was the opposite.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
As the more fiber they ate, the more colon cancer. So that means that hypothesis from South Africa was wrong. And then
imagine that.
But it seems logical, right? It's like this dogma medicine that this goes on for generations and generations, because people, even though they might just find something to be false, it's popular, right? So there's a lot of benefits of fiber, but protecting against colon cancer is just not one of them. What they found was in the Finnish people, they ate a lot of oatmeal, whereas the Danes ate a lot of had more fiber because they're eating more wheat. In oatmeal, there's more IP6. So they thought maybe it's the IP6 that was protecting them. And that's when he's now a good friend. I met him about 15 years ago, 17 years ago. Professor Shamsuddin is very famous. He invented a test for colon cancer. And he said, well, I can find out. I'll just speed up the rate of cell division of the test animals, and we'll find out if actually the IP6 does protect them.
Uh-huh.
It was completely dose-dependent, meaning that the more they gave, the fewer the tumors, the less metastasis, the longer they lived.
Wow.
Right? So it was a huge breakthrough. But it just, I always have to give a little plug for Dr. Shamsuddin.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's the, he should have won a Nobel Prize for this a long time ago.
I was just going to say, I've never even heard of him, so here we go again, right?
Yeah. Oh. He invented the test for a screening test for lung, colon, and breast cancer. And this screen here, this is our national newspaper in Canada. And it shows, and what it's the on the front page is, cancer tests could save millions. And the subtitle is, lung cancer study suggests the best screening tool to come along in decades or ever. Well, it's in ever. So it's, you know, if you think of this, so they've tested at MD Anderson in the States. They've got studies in China with like 6,000 patients for colon cancer. MD Anderson did breast cancer. I could talk for an hour just on this, but suffice it to say that cancer screening is our biggest, I think it's the most important breakthrough since antibiotics. I love antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this case, This, I think, is the second most important. Antibiotics have saved countless lives. But in terms of how many lives have we sold, I think this is second only to antibiotics. Because it basically, if you find a cancer early before it's spread, your chance of survival is much, much greater. If you find a cancer after it's spread, it's too late. So his test is not being used. They use it in some other countries, China, where they don't recognize patents. But it's not used in America, and I think it's
wow,
criminal. This is the most important technology we have.
So what is it, a saliva test, a blood test?
What it is he just, as a pathologist in colon cancer, he didn't know what healthy was. So what he did was they'd always take out a tumor, and they'd say surrounding tissue was healthy. So he wasn't sure that that was true. So he did autopsies for about 10 or 15 years looking to see if there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And what he found was that the cells surrounding a tumor are different than cells in a healthy person. And they secreted, our mucus is made up of sugar, you know, sugar and water mix.
Right.
So in our mucus, whether it's in the colon, the mucus in the colon, or even in the breast, you know, the fluid in the breast, there's sugar. There's an abnormal sugar produced. So for lung cancer, it's easy. All you have to do is spit, and you can see, they can do a simple test and find out if that sugar is present. So if that sugar is present, it doesn't mean you have cancer, but it means you have either precancerous or cancer cells. So that's the point of a screening test. Do you need further testing? Like women with mammograms, you know, the radiation causes cancer, mm-hmm. but, you know, if you find it too late, well, so they're in an awkward position. Women are in an awkward position. In this case, it tells you, should you go for a mammogram, right? Because do you have those abnormal cells present? Or should you go for a colonoscopy? Example, in colon cancer, if the main screening test is looking for blood in the stool, well, if you have a hemorrhoid, you get a false positive.
Right.
And we've only got some people that can do colonoscopies. But if it's early stage, probably not bleeding, and you miss it. So the problem is the current screening finds the test, but it finds it when it's too late usually. It's often already spread. So this test just finds it, that abnormal sugar. So it's a...
So it measures the sugar in body tissue. So would you need like an aspiration biopsy to test it for in patients susceptible to breast cancer? Or
no,
I'm still
actually,
a little confused.
So for colon cancer, you just when it, let's say a doctor does a pap smear on a lady, he gets mm-hmm. a little bit of rectal mucus. Or when I do for prostate exam on a man, you get a little bit of rectal mucus. So that's mm-hmm. for the colon. For the breast, actually, even if a woman's not lactating, there's a little bit of fluid produced. Mm. And most women don't notice it, but you know, just a tiny bit of fluid, it evaporates at the nipple. So there's still fluid in the breast, but it's just a tiny amount. So they just basically take a little tiny suction and get like, you know, half a drop of fluid. That's how it's done. Lung cancer is the easiest because all you have to do is spit because all those, you know, the mucus from the lungs, the fluid, you know, goes up into the saliva. So the lung is probably the easiest one. Colon, they have to take a, you know, it's basically taking a sample from the site. And for, like okay. I say, for the breast, at MD Anderson, what they did was they took women with breast cancer on one side, where they were about to get a mastectomy or lumpectomy, and they didn't tell the researchers which of the breasts was cancerous. And when they took, you know, they only get a very small amount, but it's enough, they could tell which of the breasts was cancerous.
Wow.
So anyways, it baffles me that we don't use tests.
That it isn't used more often. Yeah, that is kind of a, well, there's big money in mammography, that's for sure. Yeah. And big sales effort to get people to have a mammogram and not, you know, the gold standard. So why look for anything more?
Well, this will tell you if you need the mammogram, right? So
yeah,
this
right.
doesn't eliminate mammograms, but it tells you much earlier. Because, you know, a mammogram, a breast cancer, you know, cells are so tiny, by the time they get big enough, let's say a millimeter or 2 millimeters, that's typically about an eight-year-old, on average, eight-year-old
wow.
Tumor, right? So in this case, you know, you find it much, much earlier.
So where does inositol fit in to this section?
He was criticized because he invented the test for colon cancer, and then you know, the IP6, the initial research, we're talking about diabetes today mostly, but the initial research was showing that it helps to normalize rate of cell division. So actually, theoretically, a preventive as well as a treatment. But we should do a whole show on the immune aspect, because it's fascinating. I've got research from all around the world, really brilliant scientists.
So did I just hear you say that inositol stimulates cell division?
No, it normalizes it.
It normalizes. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's better.
Yeah. So, you know, if you can have a cancer, but if it doesn't grow, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You could have a little tumor there for a long time. So one of the mechanisms is that it normalizes the rate of cell division,
okay,
which is really important. So
all right.
This is, for the people seeing the screen, you can see that inositol is a six-sided sugar. Well, it comes from glucose, right? So it's basically sugar creates, our blood sugar creates inositol. The inositol, once it has, a lot of it gets phosphorylated, which means it adds phosphate groups. So that becomes IP6. So the I becomes IP6. And clinically, what they found is the combination of the two are the best. So again, inositol is just a sugar from glucose.
Okay.
It's a very, very potent antioxidant. They found in tests, you know, stronger than green tea. But again, that's a little bit of another discussion. But this is one of our strongest antioxidants because it's got 12 electrons, two for each of the six P's. So IP6, in this case, gives you 12 free extra electrons. So I want to give a few resources. If anyone's interested, they can email me. I'll be happy to send a PDF of my book, no charge. Some other books written by Professor Shamsuddin. They're a little bit technical. I try to make mine scientific, but still readable for the average person. There's a very interesting, on MSN or on NBC, they showed a research, and they took just inositol, which is weaker than IP6. They took inositol with smokers, and remarkably, so I explain to patients, look at your hand and think of your little finger as a healthy cell and your thumb as a cancer cell. In between are mutations. They're not cancer, but they're not healthy either. Maybe like a polyp in your intestine. So it's a series of DNA changes to get to the thumb, which is a cancer. So they tested smokers who had a lot of irregular DNA. They're precancerous. And remarkably, the inositol reverted their DNA back to normal in 60% of the cases. That is a stunning, stunning. That's like resetting the clock. So you can go on NBC. You can see it on our website. You can see the news report. It took the DNA back to normal in 60% of the cases. So, you know,
it's funny because it's sad and. You just have to wonder, what the heck, you know, is it just too good to be true? Is there not enough money in it? Is there, you know, are there dark forces at play?
These are some of the world top scientists. These are not.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see when I get to the diabetes, right?
Okay.
He's on the Nobel Committee for Medicine. Pretty sharp guy. If you email me at drkimv, so drkimv at hopescience.com, so drkimv at hopescience.com. I'll send you my book or any of these research papers. There's some really, really good research papers. So where does IP6 come from in our food? To a large extent, it's legumes and grains. But there's different amounts. That's why, you know, both both oats and wheat are technically grasses, but they have different amount of IP6. That's why the Finns had so much protection relative to the Danes. In South Africa, it's interesting, is the corn over 6% by weight IP6. So, you know, the South Africans were consuming almost 40 grams of IP6 a day, roughly.
Wow.
So, you know, and corn, of course, in America, corn gets a bad rap because of corn, you know, of the corn syrup.
Oh, it's not really corn anymore by the time we get to it.
Yeah. But the sugar in corn, the IP6, one of the sugars, I should say, one of the sugars in corn is really, really valuable health-wise.
Yeah.
So
I'm so happy to see peanuts are included in your list. They're on so many bad lists these days. I'm just so thrilled because I'm just such a peanut butter freak.
Peanut butter is not so much an issue. Peanuts are the main cause of cancer in a lot of parts of the world, for liver cancer, because when they get mold on them, or the body can't. It's the mold on peanuts. It's not peanuts themselves. It's the mold. It's called aflatoxin. So, you know, here it's lung cancer is a big one, and then after that it's colon and breast and prostate. But, you know, like in Africa or in China, liver cancers are really very, very high levels. It's because of the mold on peanuts. So there is reasons to stay away from peanuts. But
okay.
The metabolism of IP6 is very interesting. It comes into the body, and it naturally contains calcium, magnesium. Those drop off, and then it goes through the blood vessels, and it picks up minerals. So it really helps actually help keep the arteries clean. And that should be another topic. You know, we're going to do another one on calcium metabolism. But it actually helps to theoretically clean out the arteries. In the cells, it has all kinds of effects on the physiology of the cell. And then when it exits the body, only about 2% gets excreted. Most of it is broken down in the cells, but about 2% is excreted. And then if you have a kidney stone, it just grabs the piece of calcium on its way out. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. So it can make your bones stronger, keep your arteries clear, and reduce the level of kidney stone incidence. So again, that's a whole other topic, but it really has a lot of good value. In terms of blood sugar, it was really cool. I met this person who was on a Nobel Committee for Medicine. And for me, ultimately, you can criticize research, but if you're on the Nobel Committee for Medicine, mm-hmm. Well, that means you process at a very high speed. He was a very sharp guy. He was famous for when they do, let's say somebody passes away in a car accident or something, and they want to save the organs, tissue. Before he discovered a way to protect it, pancreatic tissue would be good for 2 or 3 days. And now he has labs in actually in America, in Florida, I believe, as well as in Sweden. They were able to get the tissue so that the transplant tissue would last for like a month. So,
wow.
So he's well known for that. But he also is the one who showed that IP6 is necessary for insulin secretion. So it's important to realize that, you know, insulin production, insulin secretion aren't the same thing. So your body has to make insulin, but then the second step is release it into the, so the second step is where you need the IP6. He showed me a video. It was really cool. It was a video of his electron microscope, and he had these beta cells in the medium, and you watched them, and not much is happening. Then they put a drop of IP6 into the medium, and all of a sudden the beta cells start jiggling, and they're just bouncing around, and out pops insulin.
Wow.
So he was just showing me you need the IP6 for insulin secretion, right? So nobody ever thinks about that part of the, but it really isn't a critical step. But this was one of, you know, sometimes when the light bulb goes on, he was telling me this whole idea of every, you know, I went through school for years. I believe this. I think 99% of the people in America, all the physicians, all the public believe this. Everyone's talking about insulin resistance. And now this is a professor of endocrinology, and he says, you realize there's no such thing. I'm like, how do you mean there's no such thing? I mean, that's a standard thing, standard dogma within medicine, in resistance. He goes, well, why would we give a diabetic insulin if they're resistant? It's perfect logic.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's the question of the timing of the insulin release. So with the insulin release, what happens is it's within milliseconds. So insulin is released in response to the blood, the amount of sugar in your cell. So as sugar in the bloodstream. He said, the problem is over time, you don't release it in a proper amount. And a good example of this, in nature, we get the two things together. For instance, when we have brown rice, in the bran of the rice is the IP6, which allows you to break down the sugar from the starch of the rice. But if you just give white rice, you're not getting any IP6.
Right.
So you need both the molecule IP6 and the sugar, right? The IP6 allows you to release the insulin to then help with the metabolism of the sugar. But this whole idea about insulin resistance, I was like, that was when the light bulb went off for me. It's like, perfect logic. So clinically, what I've seen with a number of diabetic patients, I haven't got their blood sugar back to this normal, but they would be far less spiking, and it would be in a much narrower range, so you wouldn't get those really high spikes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I say, IP6 on its own, I haven't seen it be enough to completely control the diabetes, but I've seen it that it makes it much more manageable. And a lot of things, the side effects of diabetes are important. Peripheral neuropathy or impotence for men. I've seen a lot of the problems with diabetes get be much more manageable, much easier for the patients. So I've seen patients' overall health improve. The blood sugar, I've seen it come down and with less spiking, but not all the way down to normal. So it's a part
that's
of the...
That's not horrible, right? I mean, that's still helpful.
Oh, yeah. It's part of the puzzle, right? So this is part... It's not, you know, we typically look for medicines to do everything. Well, this is a nutrient that plays an important role. It doesn't, I mean, obviously, if you continue to eat tons of sugar, it's not enough, right? So this for diabetes is, to me, for overall health, it's just really an important factor. So clinically for diabetes, you see some really interesting results. This is a chart showing sort of the circle. Think of it as a circle, and this is so in the pancreas, the body produces insulin. So I've already said that you need IP6 for insulin release, right? So you get some insulin release. The insulin is what gets the sugar or glucose into the cell. And then, remarkably, the glucose is what they make inositol out of.
Mm,
and then the inositol,
like the
mother of IP6, they just phosphorylate it, and then it's a circle. So the problem for us, as our diets become more and more westernized, we have, you know, more white rice and less brown rice, for instance, less legumes and less beans and that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
we end up with less IP6. So for blood sugar metabolism, we're kind of taking away one of the main nutrients. So this is a really simple cycle, but it's a fundamental cycle.
So there are other places to – now wheat is on the, oh, my God, don't ever touch it list. So there, let's kind of review one more time. So oatmeal is still a grain, but it has very good protective benefits, and IP6 or at least the inositol may be part of that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. So basically, IP6 is everywhere. When you eat meat, or you eat dirt, IP6 is everywhere because it's necessary for life.
Okay.
So it's everywhere, but it's concentrated in certain areas. So grains and legumes generally have the highest amount.
Okay. Well, we are out of time for this episode of CrossLink Radio. And is there somewhere that people can go to find out more information about IP6? Or can you buy it as a supplement separately? Or is there another way?
There's a supplement. It's a supplement sold in stores.
Okay.
I think the best thing is to be educated about it. And
sure.
If they just... You can go to Hope Science, you know, my company's Hope Science. Go to hopescience.com, email us, or email me, and I'll be happy to send you the book and research papers and things on it. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think it's first to get educated, but it's just a very simple thing is the more westernized your diet, the less IP6 you're getting.
Us poor Westerners, we're in so much trouble.
Well, things are changing now. I see in the stores there's better choices available and things, but just on average, it's, you know, the last 40, 50 years it's gotten bad, but I think slowly we're starting to recover. But I've been taking this as a supplement for 17 years since I knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't hardly take any supplements. I like vitamin D, and there's a couple of things I take, but this I've taken, I would say, almost religiously for 17 years because there's so many benefits.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. So thank you so much, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us about some other topics in the future.
I would love to.
Awesome. So there we go. That was Dr. Van der Linden, and he has been talking to us about a kind of sugar that we need to have, that our body needs to have in order to function on a bunch of different levels, called IP6. And I really appreciate him spending some time with us and helping us understand how all of that works. So have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you next time on CrossLink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski saying see you later.
Wondering how to improve your oral systemic practice? Join me, Shirley Gutkowski, in my guided mastermind. Each one-month mastermind tackles a single topic that's easy to implement because you and your colleagues plan it and implement it together. 1 month, one topic, affordable. Contact me by email at shirley@crosslinkradio.com for more information or to sign up.